Welcome to the Ayahuasca Parents Podcast.
Welcome.
Oh, hello, Mr. Christensen.
She doesn't even talk that little anymore.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Now she's, you know, growing up like they all are.
Yeah.
It's very, very strange.
Yeah, it's weird. She's tall, too.
Well, how you been?
Good.
Yeah, what you been up to?
You know, I mean, I help people buy houses, so I've been dealing with bullshit.
real
time
life,
to be alive.
Life problems.
Right?
Right, I know.
Yeah, you might as well just buy a dumpster. You could probably sell that on a piece of land for like 200 grand. Anyway.
I know, we could really talk about, we should just do a podcast about real estate.
Nobody wants to hear that podcast. I don't want to have that podcast.
I don't either. Yeah. I really don't. Just batshit bonkers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than work, how have you been? You had a birthday.
Yep.
Yep. Joel turned 37.
Right on. Plus 10.
Plus 10. Yeah. Yeah. But was it a good birthday?
Yeah. It was awesome.
And Father's Day.
Somebody tricked me into a fucking 10-mile hike on my birthday. It was awesome.
I thought it
would
be...
All the kids were pissed off. It was great.
Oh, don't say
that. No, everybody was just tired.
It wasn't like that. We went on an adventure, and it was super fun.
Yeah, when it took 4.5 miles to get there, everyone's looking around like, that was awesome. Holy fuck, how are we going to get back to the car?
Yeah, it was a 9-mile hike, and we increased elevation by, 2,000 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite the hike. While the snow was melting, so we had to go over some icebergs. It was awesome.
Some glaciers, icebergs, glaciers, whatevs, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Well, we had fun, but it was interesting. At one point in the hike, every single one of the kids and myself, and I think you broke down. We all broke down.
Yeah.
And we were like, we hate this mountain. I took Joel for his birthday because he loves to hike. Don't let him fool you. He had a fantastic time.
No, I did.
Yeah.
Just couldn't walk next day. But yeah, it was fun. Keep going.
Yeah. But I decided to, because we are avid hikers and outdoors people, I took him to a different mountain range that we've never hiked before. It was beautiful aspen trees and big, huge pine trees and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we even brought the dog. I think the only two people, or only two beings that didn't have any struggle were Jaden.
He didn't even sweat.
Yeah, so now that I think about it, I guess it was just
Jaden,
three of the kids, and you and me. But Jaden and Cubby, our dog.
Yeah.
Every time I looked at Jaden, he looked like he was just strolling up the mountain.
There was a time where I'm crawling up the iceberg, and he's just jogging.
I know. There was no fear whatsoever. It was like a 200-foot drop.
As there's like a little river flowing underneath the little ice sheet.
Yeah, same with our dumb dog. I'm like, Cubby! You know, and he's like playing in the snow. And I'm just trying to focus on not stalling out and just continuing to put one foot in front of the other. But it was a really fun hike. At one point, Jaden, the one that effortlessly just walked 2,000 miles up into the air, looks at me when we got, you know, to the lake. Jaden goes, is there something wrong with me? I'm not even sweating.
Is it kind of weird? We just walked 4.5 miles and my feet don't even hurt. It's like, yeah, it's really weird because my feet want to die.
Yeah, he's just an exceptional, shape, you know, because of basketball. But yeah, the rest of us, I thought Lexi was literally.
Livid. She was livid.
Yeah. Yeah. She was so angry with me. She wouldn't even talk to me.
Well, I'll tell you, gave her birthday cake and then she was good.
So funny.
You can heal her pain with sugar.
Yeah.
Pretty much anytime you want to.
No, but we all had a good time. I think the funnier ones were watching the older two break down, you know.
Oh, they worked some shit out, both of them. Taylor just sat down and was like staring at the sky like, why? Yeah. Why am I fucking here? I'm like, yeah.
You know how you can reach like psychedelic states through breathing?
Yeah.
I think our family had like a collective plant medicine experience through breath.
Yeah, it was really it was intense.
We worked some shit out. Yeah.
Well, it's not like we do 9-mile hikes all the time.
I know.
The funny thing is when that guy came around that first corner, and I'm like, how much further? And he's like, it's about an hour and a half. I was like, oh, you're a fucking slow walker. Well, I didn't know we had 3.5 miles left.
Two hours later.
Yeah, we'd only hiked a mile at that point. Like, I had no idea. You know, he's like, it was around that mountain. It's like, that's 6 mountains away, dude.
For the record, I didn't know.
Also, we could hike up to a lake that's only there while the tips of the mountains, you know, thaw.
Okay, for the record.
I mean, it was pretty. It was really pretty.
The all trails
map. This is why we need to do an Instagram account, because, like, we could post pictures while we're just talking shit. I think people would appreciate that.
For the record, the all trail, yeah, map. Or app.
Liar.
Yeah, it wasn't very accurate with this hike. But it was beautiful.
It was rated moderate, right?
Yeah. And nobody was there Utah's mountains, I know, right? That was a really hard hike. Utah's mountains and it's awesome that so many people are flocking to the mountains and, you know, wanting to reconnect with the ecosystem and you know, with their natural self through.
Which makes us have to go to the environment. Obscure mountain ranges where we know only the hillbillies are. For real.
Yeah.
Some rough looking people up there. Anyway, there was.
They probably all know each other and they were like, who are these guys?
Like outsiders.
I mean, they had camp spots and it was a memorial.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was.
Were you nervous?
No. No, I wasn't nervous. I was just like, so this is where the other people come.
I'm like, see, now I thrive.
What do you call those people on Game of Thrones? That's where the wildlings are?
I thrive in areas like that because, you know, I grew up in Provo, Utah. But, you know, we went camping in the Bridger-Teton National Forest, Wyoming side at a place called Middle Piney. And it was where just.
Everybody packs a sidearm.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Even the 14-year-olds. Yeah.
That was fucking weird, too. We pulled up the camp spot. I'm like, everybody's got a gun but us.
Yeah. Well, I was so desensitized because I've been raised with guns.
Yeah. I'm like looking around like, everybody's got a gun but us.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to drink beer tonight. And so, anyway.
Yeah. No, we didn't have any. We only had one weird situation up there.
Yeah.
But I mean.
That was where the cast of Grey's Anatomy showed up and started walking around our camp spot.
It was just the weirdest thing.
Fucking group of people I've ever seen.
Yeah. And they came into our tent trailer. I think that's. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, anyways, nobody else understands what we're saying because we're literally just reminiscing. We're going down memory lane, but you and I are finishing each other's thoughts. Yeah. So,
anyway,
well, I apologize. So I've been working on a couple things lately about, you know, feeling of worth or value. So I had this natal astrological chart read like in 2000 or my. Natal astrological chart read in 2015, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or it may have been the tail end of 2014. It really pinged, you know, this idea. And I know that a lot of people, you know, just like they kind of poo-poo crystals, you know, a lot of people also poo-poo anything when it comes to astrology. But, I mean, it's not as woo-woo as, you know, some might try and describe it to be. And basically, if you think about it, the night that you were born, the stars in the sky looked a particular way, you know, the juxtaposition of those planets and the way in which the electrons shooting off the sun, you know, sort of bounce off, so to speak, each of those planets, you know, or Earth, you know. Anyways, so it says something about us. This was the energy that was present when, you know, we came into being.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so I've really connected with that and have really worked with that. I don't know how to read charts. I never really got that
Yeah, but I mean, like, interest. When they read your life chart or whatever that was, your birth chart or whatever it was basically showed a kind of a outline of your life.
Yeah.
And the guy's reading it to you that never met you. All he knows is your birthday, where you were born, and time of birth, right? And it talked about having a shitty mom.
Mm-hmm.
Physically beating you and then healing yourself with plant medicines. Like, you can't make that shit up.
Yeah, it was kind of a
made smack, me a believer. I was like
smack in my face.
What the hell?
Yeah, but yeah. Because of that, I paid attention.
Yeah, it's hard not to seeing something like that.
And so I just had this, as you know, this it was called the transcendent chart, because the last time that I sort of did a astrological checkup, I guess you could say, regarding my chart, the gentleman that read it was talking about how I'm transcending my natal astrological chart. I've basically ticked the boxes. And so he wanted to read a transcendent chart for me, which I had done on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like I'm also outgrowing that chart too, which kind of made me laugh a little bit. But I have, you know, three very powerful, you know, nodes or points or whatnot, I guess, in my chart. And I can say for sure that two of them I have definitely focused on. And there's this third one, basically about abundance, or really it was about monetary value. That's the way he kind of approached it with me. And he made the comment about I was out spiritualizing or over spiritualizing my ability to create abundance. And I said to him, well, I'm a very abundant person. He goes, no, I know. He goes, but you have some sort of belief system here where you don't think that you're worth, he used the word worth, you know, worth, you know, basically exchanging possibly something that I could do or advice that I could give or something like that, or whatever it is, that I'm uncomfortable, you know, basically receiving money for that. And I am. Yeah. Like I'm incredibly. Right. Yeah. But he was talking more about like abundance. He kept on talking about over spiritualizing my ability to be abundant. And, you know, so we had a good conversation and about it. And then he left. And I just started thinking about these words, you know, worth and value. And they just feel so icky to me. And so part of my process is when I come across language that you know, doesn't feel right, I look them up. So I looked it up in the dictionary. Well, both worth and value have, you know, monetary claims on them. I mean, it basically, you know, what are you worth, you know, in a monetary sense? What is your value, monetary sense? And it was really kind of bothering me. And so I like the etymology of words. You know, so I may or may not have looked up, you know, some of these words and still didn't really.
This is how we know why you're outgrowing your chart.
Well, I just want to understand.
I like to dive into all this mysterious shit.
I do. It's intellectually stimulating for me. And so, so then I decided, well, let's look up some synonyms of the words.
It's normal for a Tuesday.
Value. Well, isn't everyone doing that Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Let's look up the words value and worth, you know, worthy. And I came across this word transcendent in it. And what's funny about this is that literally Saturday, I just had my transcendent chart read. And I'm circling back to this word that was, you know, maybe the whole reason why I, you know, even reached out to Sean. Anyway, but that's the astrology guy. Anyway, so I had this kind of download, and I just want to share what I wrote last night. I said, we will never achieve worth or value because those words and their meanings put a monetary value on being human. We are beyond worth and value. We are inherently transcendent, extraordinary, and sovereign.
Yeah.
And that just felt so...
This is really cool.
So much better to me, this idea of inherently transcendent, you know, without value, because we are, you know, priceless. Yeah. Sort of reminds me of when I was so fixated on, you know, purpose. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? Until I had a facilitator at the Temple of the Way of Life say, you know, in all of her years that she has been working with the maestras, the Shipibo maestras, you know, they have never ever talked about purpose, because it is, you know, you're born with purpose by being human. Just by the very act of being human, and whatever that is, you have purpose.
Yeah.
You know, because the universe, just like us, is experiential. You know, it wants to And the best way in which to learn is experiential learning. So that's why, if you think about it, that we just inherently have purpose as well. And that made me, this woman then made the comment about the maestros will talk about mission. You know, what is your mission? You know, mm-hmm. And that feels good, because sometimes we seek things like purpose and we feel like we're never going to be able to achieve it. And that's because we are never, ever going to achieve that, because we already have it. It's just, we refuse to see it.
Yeah.
And so same with worthy and value, right? Being of worth and value. If you're attempting to feel of worth and value, well, you're never going to achieve that, because you are inherently transcendent, and there should never, ever be any correlation between a monetary value and a human being. Yeah. And I think we can all probably agree with that.
Oh yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least 99% of us.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say too, it's interesting because this shift in perspective for me has really opened up my heart in a different way of, you know, I've said the word abundant, a million times, but in reality, like it has opened up my heart into receiving abundance. You know, Sean made the, Sean's the astrology guy. So, but I just want to say that I have had massive resistance to ever charging anybody or making any money off of something that I've downloaded for free. You know,
yeah.
I could make the argument that, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars, healing myself, and therefore it's not free.
You mean, and just so people know, download like
my wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, just being.
That's so many spiritual gurus do, right? Where they set it up and try to be some sort of, kind of like a leader of a cult. It's kind of how it typically looks.
Yeah. And I don't want to do that. You know, as far as my healing is concerned, I feel like that. The way in which that, you know, that I can, however I can give back, I'd like to give back.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, Sean had made a comment about, he'd made an analogy about, he's like, have you ever given a gift to somebody and you really had, you thought about it like a lot, right? And so it was really kind of a sentimental gift. It wasn't your average, gift where someone's like, oh, thanks, that's nice. You know, it's one of those you stop in your tracks like, wow, that's a really thoughtful gift. And have you ever spent any time doing that and then giving it to the person and it wasn't received well? You know, maybe lack of self-esteem, or like, what, you know, maybe
I can't take this from you.
Yeah. Or maybe that person's like, what do you want in exchange for this? You know, and they completely botch the gift giving. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I've done that. I've had that happen before. And he basically, I think, was insinuating that that's what I'm doing, that the universe or that, whatever you want to call it, is attempting to give me this gift and I keep on resisting receiving it because I'm just so uncomfortable with this idea ever exchanging wisdom for money.
Right.
You know, and he makes good points. He's like, Cammie, how much did you pay for this today? You know, $250. And he's like, and were you happy to pay it? And I was like, well, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know.
For your time.
Yeah. Anyway, but again, it just felt really icky to me. But I like the idea that over spiritualizing my ability to create abundance is about abundance. That's not necessarily money.
No, I mean, abundance comes in many different ways.
Yeah. And just to sort of be open, you know, to that. So that's where I'm at.
It's so that's me.
So that's me. And I have,
aside from that, how much are you missing the jungle?
Oh God. Yeah.
Right.
I know I was up on the Temple of the Way of Lights website today because I'm really interested in going back to ayahuasca and working with ayahuasca. And then I want to do this, I think it's a 10-day dieta afterwards in Pucallpa. Anyways, but the dietas aren't up and running yet. They said soon. Anyway, and, you know, I don't really think we're going to make it this year. It might be next year.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's been 5 years for me, so I'd like to go. It's a, yeah. Talking, you know, it just seems like I keep talking about it to different people, like that other realtor today that I was talking to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are thinking about it.
Yeah, I tried to do, what was it, the beginning of June, I attempted to do a 10-day at-home dieta.
Yeah.
Where I did some fasting and drank a basil tea and followed the ayahuasca diet, which I just love. I really, if I didn't live in suburbia, you know, suburbanville, I would totally eat just like that. Which sounds like an excuse, and it probably is. but I don't have the...
See, no salt, huh? You're just good.
I don't have the consistency not to drink coffee and not to have salt on my food 100% of the time. But I do really, really enjoy... My body loves that diet.
Yeah.
The ayahuasca prep diet. But I made it 9 days, and I'm proud of myself that I did it 9 days.
Should be. No, 9 days is great. Should be.
Yeah. And it's interesting because although I didn't feel a connection with the basil, and that is actually a master plant that maestros in the Amazon work with.
Interesting.
I didn't really have a connection to the basil, but I was building a lot of fires and I was working with mapacho. And I do feel like that I received some really great perspectives, you know, that time interfacing with the fire and working with mapacho. But it's interesting with mapacho, when you're done, you're done.
And you get nauseous.
Right. And I'm just talking about, like, I was just fine. I was working with it about 3 times a day. And then it was, this is why I quit the dieta. I don't even know if I told you that. Huh. But I went outside and had one more mapacho, and it went from, you know, helpful, right?
To like,
don't put that in your mouth again. You know, just like how the plants with an incredible consciousness have,
when they're done.
Yeah, they have a defensive mechanism.
Yep.
And I listened. I was like, okay.
Ah, you have to listen.
I'm done with this. Thank you.
It's like one more puff. They're like, told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Still be nice to go.
Yeah. No, right? I agree. Well, I think any of us that like to internationally travel, I think most of us are feeling a bit squirrely.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes I wish, maybe we could just start like some sort of ayahuasca religion so we can hide underneath the umbrella of a church, but then, you know, offer ayahuasca somewhere like in southern Utah or something. That would be cool. Or up in the mountains.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I know there's like the Santo Domini church like in Florida.
Yeah.
And I believe they have a place on the West Coast. And there's that Kentucky ayahuasca guy that's in Kentucky. And I know that there's another, I think it's another church in California ran by a bunch of vets.
Yeah.
But I really do believe... our first shaman, Don Howard, when he said that doing ayahuasca one time is malpractice, and the ayahuasca works in stages.
Yeah.
And that at least 3 doses, you know, within, you know, 5-6 days is what is needed.
Well, I couldn't agree more, because again, it unfolds like a book.
Yeah.
It's got a first chapter, middle, and, you know, the last chapter.
Yeah. I like going to Peru, I think, because I just like traveling, you know, and I really have a connection, though, to the Amazon forest. And there's something about...
It just feels like you step out of time, too. It's really...
Oh, yeah. But there's something about being in the Moloka and, you know, the sun setting and listening to the jungle come alive, because you don't, unless you've been there...
Wow, dude.
Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. And there's something about that symphony of, you know, the animals and the insects.
That's why I think it all, it's, that's why I think, you know, it's frequency.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. I like it. And the Temple of the Way of Light is a very safe place. And the maestras and maestros are legit. Yeah. So, I don't know. And it, I just, so for me personally, I don't think I would ever choose to, you know, do ayahuasca in the States, but never say never, right?
Yeah. But I agree with you. I like Peru. I like the whole, you know, the whole thing from, you know, doing it in a Maloca, literally while the whole jungle is alive, to, you know, and just having your off kind of integration days in the jungle. It's peaceful. It's quiet.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. There's something incredibly safe and comforting there. We've had, you know, a couple of people that we've run into. Well, you've run into them really mainly, you know, asking about plant medicines. And I thought it was the lady you were talking to today had a really good question that I think that it would, might be good to talk about. And that is, she said, what did she say exactly about seeing, you know, going to ayahuasca and seeing past trauma?
Yeah, she said, she goes, I've there's been quite a few people in my life that I've bumped into, including she has a cousin she was really close to, who all keep recommending going to Peru and doing ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And she said, it sounds perfect. I've heard everybody's, you know, stories, and then now she's getting it from me about how it kind of, it helps you through the trauma, helps you see it, helps you heal it, right? And she goes, I would just be scared of what I'd see. And kind of what I said to her is, everybody's experience is different, and it's really kind of catered to you. I don't know anyone that was re-traumatized by their, you know, what originally caused their trauma. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone, including myself. Like, it's definitely, you know, when I found out what happened to me, it was really just a bunch of familiar pictures, smells, things like that, to where the memories came back, but not really visually. It just, like, I knew what had happened, and it wasn't traumatizing in the slightest. Mm-hmm. You know, and so again, and, you know, I know some women have had the experience where, you know, they're dealing with an abortion. Mm-hmm. And they're made to hold their baby, which, holy shit, I can only imagine how traumatizing that is for them. I know that's happened, but it was super healing for all these women after they, you know, kind of finished that. That's kind of a consistent thing that people experience where, you know, but aside from that, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's everybody's, its experience is different, and like you didn't even have visions. It was just more of feelings.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Which I think was incredible that it was like that piece was sort of turned off for me.
Yeah.
because my nervous system, you know, those of us that have been through a ridiculous amount of trauma at a very young age, our nervous systems are completely just shattered.
Yeah.
And, And I really feel like that to have had those visions, I think, would have really overloaded my nervous system.
Yeah.
You know, and so ayahuasca worked with me in a very completely different way, an incredibly powerful way, you know. But, you know, I did have the visions this last time, though.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful that, you know, but I've done a lot of work on healing my nervous system, though, too.
Yeah.
But
it's not traumatizing.
Yeah, no, it's not traumatizing.
Sometimes it's difficult, but
yeah, I think the traumatizing thing is, and that I've read about, by the way, if you guys have not been up on reset.me, that's Amber Lyons' website. I totally would do that. Reset.me.
Yeah, it's a great place to hear people's stories.
Yeah, but she has such great insights. The editors are off the hook right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed reading.
I haven't checked it out for a while, so I guess myself, I'll have to go check it out.
She has a couple of incredibly talented editors.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed listening, you know, to the way in which they articulate their experiences. Yeah,
what was that last article you sent me from Reset.me?
I don't remember.
I remember we both read it and we were like, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Nobody talks about that either, whatever it was.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I think some of the you know, trauma comes when you don't know how to integrate things, particularly the visions, you know.
Yeah.
Because visions are really there to help bring you to an emotional space, a feeling, you know, to complete sometimes, you know, trauma cycles, you know, to complete a trauma cycle, you almost have to be brought, your nervous system has to be brought to the point that it was at before, and then heal that completion so that that synapse can discharge within the receptor, you know?
Well, like, you know, my fear and what was happening to me, which, I was scared I was going to have to see myself get molested, which I never did. And really what had happened is I was starting to see visions of the bedroom and parts of my grandma's house and then just familiar feelings and smells. And, you know, he lived in the basement with like fucking 9 cats or something. So it was a weird cat smell, you know, all those kind of things. And then it was just like, I knew it happened.
Yeah.
And then it quickly transitioned to, this was another thing I told that woman today, that, you know, cause she was asking, you know, what do the experiences have in common? A lot of people experience kind of spending some little time with a little version of you and making them feel better. Right.
Yeah. I was thinking about that today, that when we're born, for the most part, I mean, there's some epigenetic, you know, factors to consider, but for the most part, you know, we are as open can be. And then we begin from literally the time that we come to Earth, we begin to be conditioned.
Yeah.
You know, and we start to, because of our, you know, our intrinsic survival instincts, you know, we start to watch our environment and we start to learn and grow and blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting in this healing process, because you get to a certain point, like for me, 37 years old, and I'm like, I'm a complete wreck. And so then you choose to do what we call healing, but really it's coming back to being as open as we were when we were little kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of a return back to the heart, or the home of the heart, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us, you know, we're reminded that that's, you know, that was our innocence, you know, that's our essence.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think, you know, I feel like personally I've, you know, experienced this just recently, this coming back, you know, to myself. And it's an opening, like it's not a force. It's not a, you know, you don't have to try. It's just this interesting opening that happens. I too was really nervous that I was going to have to see my mom beat me. And there was no way that I could have remembered every single trauma, because of the amount of trauma that I had, you know, basically like on a daily basis. Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until an hour before our first ceremony, my first ever ayahuasca ceremony, I grabbed at my shaman and was like, am I going to see?
Was it an hour? It was like 10 minutes.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. We were sitting down.
Oh my gosh. I was so scared.
And I was scared for you when you were like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, oh no.
He basically said, you know, that ayahuasca will only show you, you know, what it is that you need to see, whatever's productive, you know. But I'll never forget, like, when he was going around, he didn't do this any other time than the first time, because he started to feel kind of crappy. But I remember he came around, remember, and he would put the rose water on our foreheads and our heart.
Yep. That was awesome.
Yeah. And I remember this is right before my first ceremony, and he stops me and he's like, are you going to be okay? My heart was beating so fast, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what am I doing? Like, you have this minute sometimes when you're sitting, here I am.
It's intense doing your first cup.
I'm in Peru with 30 strangers, you know, except for Joel, with a puke bucket in front of me on the floor on a wooden floor of a maloka.
It's only lit by candles.
Yeah. Sitting on a mat, and I'm hearing jungle noises I've never fucking heard before in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm about to do one of the biggest psychedelic teas.
Right.
On the planet.
And everyone's dressed in ceremony gear, and there's like candles and this fucking altar that's like got artifacts and shit on it. Like, just,
it was pretty intense.
It's intense.
but it turned out to be pretty good.
And then, and the craziest thing is like walking up to the altar, right? And like Don Howard would look at you and he's like, you know, like for me, it was like, relax, brother. And I'm like, fucking relax. You're about to give me a cup. Gives me a cup. And mine was like, my first cup was like towards the end of one of the bottles.
Oh, yeah.
So it had like plant matter and shit in it. I'm like, I got
chunky
like
bits.
A couple gulps on my white shirt, you know? Yeah. Yucky. And it's just, yeah. And then you, and then I made the mistake because everyone else was doing it. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm supposed to take a couple puffs of Mpacho, which like amplifies it. I'm like, how am I? Yeah. Anyway. And I remember when that DMT buzz kicked in, like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was intense.
Yeah. So I didn't have any of that until this last time. Yeah. And it was.
Right,
it
though? Was definitely. Like, am I, is my description accurate?
Yeah, it was funny though. It's interesting because I really can relax in those spaces. I really enjoy the feeling of that mm-hmm. space and feel free to leave, you know, my physical tool.
I'm better with it now. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes familiar and when it starts to take hold, I relax into it like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah. It's like you're very present within your subatomic particles.
Yeah.
You know, because we live in such what we call a physical realm. It's nice sometimes to tango with the subatomic particle realm.
Totally.
I think that's what the buzz is, to be honest with you, is that we're just able to then focus really within ourselves in an infinitesimal microcosmic way.
Do you think there's a physical thing that takes place, like that's measurable? Like they could literally measure our frequency going up 20
hertz or
something? I just
think that this reality is so about matter, right? Which is, you know, like 0.00000000, you know, 1% of what we are. But for whatever reason, our focus and our awareness is within the matter of things. And I think when we take a psychedelic, I think that's the 99.999999% space that we're seeing. And the space is what binds all of the matter together. You know, the space isn't nothing. It's fucking everything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, you know, it's like two sides of the same coin. That's how I feel like we are sometimes. You know, our focus and most of our awareness is within what we call this reality, you know, which is very dense, which is quite literally about the matter. And the other side of the coin is the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really like that space.
I know you do. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an opening there that I like, but.
Yeah. It kind of resets you. Just puts everything in balance.
Like how you say that, like you're, you know, it's.
Well, you know, the thing is, I like to do it. I like to experience some type of psychedelic once a year. It's now been over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot lately because, you know, you learn something every time,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially, you know, it's kind of exciting when it's not necessarily like you're looking for some help trying to heal something.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just, it's almost like this question of what can you show me?
Well, and it's an incredible, she's just an incredible teacher. And here, that's the coolest thing is like when you go and you work with ayahuasca, those cups of ayahuasca that you're drinking, the downloads that you're getting, they're filling, this is the reason why the shamans say that your cup is full, is that then you go home and ayahuasca doesn't magically leave. It's there through the entire integration process.
Yeah.
And, you know, like through perspective, you know, yeah. I mean, like for instance, recently in my integration, I've been studying the brain's neurons, and the way in which they communicate either through light, you know, or through chemicals. And so when you think about this reality and you think about, you know, food is chemical, pharmaceuticals are a chemical, drugs are chemicals, you know, cleaning supplies or chemicals, everything in our, you know, this a focused awareness perspective in reality right now is chemicals, you know. So when you think about that, you've got neurons that are firing and probably out of balance because they're firing more with the chemicals. and you know, how do you foster more light? Well, I think that's where psychedelics come in. You know, which is why people have such radical shifts in consciousness when they come home. And that's because they
letting more light in.
Yeah. Well, it's like they got plugged in to.
Yeah. To an outlet.
Yeah. To exactly. We forget to sometimes.
Flip the light switch on.
That we're antennas. We forget sometimes that our neurons, which, by the way, did you know that we have 400, I don't want to get the 400 million atoms, I believe, in just one of our neurons. Yeah, that's right. I think that's right. 400 million
atoms in one neuron.
Yeah.
And how many neurons do we have?
It could be 400 billion. Here, let's fact check me really quick.
Yeah, it's a full 10 times right there.
What's that?
The difference between a million and a billion, it's 10 times. So it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I get it confused sometimes with.
How many atoms are in a cell?
There's a, well, there's 100 million atoms in one cell. Or is it 100 trillion? Oh, no.
This is where we need producers that can sit there and Google for us and then put it up on a screen.
I know, right?
Yeah. Maybe our podcast one day can be big enough to where we have producers.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Like cool producers, you know, like like-minded, want to help make a good production producers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that would be cool. Yeah. 100 trillion atoms. Okay. So then I'm pretty sure I'm right on this then, is that we have, you have 400 trillion neurons. Sorry. No, you have 100 billion neurons. In your brains. That's just in your brains. You have 400 trillion atoms that are in one of your neurons. And
so it's 400 trillion times 400 billion would give you how many atoms you have?
Yeah.
Just in your neurons? That's a lot.
Yeah. But when you think about it this way, is that the observable, like our galaxy, what they have projected is that we have 400, you know, we have like 400 billion planets or celestial bodies that we've documented.
Yeah.
And we have way, 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 way more atoms in one of our neurons. And we have a ridiculous amount of neurons in our brains, in our hearts, and in our guts. I mean.
Yeah, I follow this astrology thing on Instagram. And the guy showed a picture of what the perceived universe looks like, which is, it looks like a cell that's full of atoms.
It's, yeah. I mean, that is.
The as above, so below thing is so funny to me because it's literally how it works.
Yeah, because one atom is the potentiality of all that is, and yeah. And so all that is exists in one atom, you know, and the amount of atoms that we have in our cells, the amount of cells that we have in our body that are quite literally, you know, birthing and dying simultaneously, it is an infinite amount of possibility of all that is just in our human. And I like to think about, I like to think about the human becoming aware of that. And, you know, what could a human being be if it was aware? And I know I botched all the quantities and units, by the way, on what I was trying to say.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But,
kind of seems like we're witnessing humanity collectively becoming aware of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in a way, I mean, that's what, you know, whatever this, whatever Earth is, that it's a part of another, you know, being, right? Yeah. I feel like that whatever that being is also becoming incredibly aware of Earth, you know? Hmm. So I think it's an interesting time to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us are down here to, in a way, kind of recode what Earth has been to being something that's more in line with, you know, symbiosis.
Yeah. Well, most people that do psychedelics become more aware. It's spreading.
Yeah.
Psychedelics is becoming pretty something you need to do for maintenance.
Well, yeah, I actually think that because you know, we have certain receptors in our brains that this is a part of mental health that we all need to explore.
Exactly.
And I think that there is a plant out there for everyone. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I get a little discouraged about the amount of synthetics that are coming out of psychedelics. And that's because when you extract certain alkaloids out of the plant can't function wholly, you know, in both sense of that word.
Wholly and complete. And
yeah. And therefore, you know, basically doing what we've been doing for eons of time, which is that we take the molecular structure of a live, living, natural plant and we synthesize it, thereby making it toxic or more toxic and inefficient.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm a little bit concerned with, you know, those types
of synthetics. And those are the ones that are legal, right? MDMA, ketamine.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff. And, you know, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think people need to ask themselves, right? Like, okay, yeah, one's legal, one's not. You should question that first and foremost, but to have the complete experience, the closer that you take something from its true form, the closer it is to nature. That's the best choice.
There's a reason why there's a lot of us that have worked with ayahuasca or psilocybins that are coming back to the natural world.
Yeah.
And, good point. And the earth and the raw materials of the earth, you know?
Yeah.
Just maybe a bug in people's ear, you know, just because you're having a psychedelic experience. Or even more concerning is one of these drugs, it seems like that, you know, you can have a horrific experience and not even remember it. People trying to jump out of windows, people,
yeah,
you know,
ketamine. Yep.
Yeah, people trying to, yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but.
No, I mean, I think people should know.
Yeah, people screaming. It's actually
pretty traumatizing because, you know, we've known people that run a clinic and there are people that have fucking freak outs and they're crazy and they're trying to jump out windows and then they come out of it. They don't remember any of it. Now, does it mean that they don't get some sort of relief? A lot of them claim that they do get some sort of relief, but you're acting out that kind of shit while you're not conscious and it's synthetic. Like, why not just take the real thing?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a big problem with it too, because how do you heal something that you're not aware of? How do you go home and integrate after an experience like that?
Yeah.
You know, and we've known a couple people that decided to do this like once a week and they're not well.
No.
You know, and quite angry. And it's almost now like they have to go every week. You know, yeah. Maybe this has just been their experience, but, you know. Anyways, I'm a little bit frustrated about that. Leave it to humans to try and synthesize things, you know, and blame it on dosage.
Yeah, you know? Blame it on dosage. Well, we can control the dosage. I got news for you.
So can we the plants. We can
control the dosage with plants.
Yeah.
I'm not saying... The difference is, though, is no one dies on the plants either, you know?
Yeah, well, and I'm not saying that you can't be an idiot and overdose on something, and I'm not saying that, you know, people haven't been harmed by malpractitioners dispensing, you know, ayahuasca, you know, I mean, because I know that there have been some cases of people that have died, and that has really nothing to do with the ayahuasca. It has everything to do with the person that was preparing it, you know?
Yeah. You got to vet them.
Yeah. And of course, you know, people lie too, you know, people that shouldn't be, you know, basically don't disclose certain things and they put themselves at risk. Yeah. You know,
if you lie about your drug use or pharmaceuticals that you may or may you could put yourself at risk for sure.
Yeah. Or we see sometimes, you know, Western people think they just suffer from massive egos thinking, oh, it's a plant, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know, yeah. So they don't prepare right. And then they're shocked when nothing happens or
it's rough.
Yeah. Or it's really, really brutal. So.
Yeah, the more honest you prepare, the better your experience you're going to have.
Yeah. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get you back to Peru, Joel. I promise. Either it'll happen.
We'll have to get some mushrooms.
Yeah.
Second best option, I think,
personally. Yeah. I mean, psilocybins are they're just an incredible tool. They're great at integration.
Yeah.
You know, for sure, and can be a vehicle sometimes to, you know, get in touch with ayahuasca, so to speak. But
kind of like a bridge.
Yeah, kind of like a bridge. A big, huge mycelium network that where they can just reach right? out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a true story.
Inside joke.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, anything else that you'd like to share, discuss, talk about?
I think we should do a podcast more often.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it would be a good way to connect.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should try to do one a week or one every 2 weeks.
Done.
Okay. We'll try. I like that. Yeah.
We'll try and be more consistent.
Yeah, I think be more consistent, but you know, because it's been fun having conversations with people that, you know, are looking for advice or, you know, that, you know, I think that our some of our podcasts where we've talked about integration seem to be more of our popular ones. Mm-hmm. Integration and just how to navigate through relationships after, you know, doing a psychedelic, because the psychedelic's going to have you see things, and then when you see the things, you're going to want to change things, and then you become a different person, and then people don't resonate with you.
Well, and you don't resonate with them, and let's be honest. I mean, one of the greatest things that have come out of 2019 to, you know, to present time, mm-hmm. is this idea of making sure that, you know, we have adequate boundaries, and if certain people don't want to adhere to those boundaries, that's fine. They don't have to be in our lives.
Yeah,
you know, and
boundaries become it's. Psychedelics is it fair to say, I mean, psychedelics help you become aware of human behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Including your own, clearly.
Well, first, yeah, because first, you only see in others what you have within yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
So you don't like your behavior, so you change your behavior, and then you start to notice it in other people. And then you're just like, yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think the whole self-awareness process, the opening up process, yeah. You know, is a little bit shocking. You know, we've had people where just recently where, you know, we got a bird's eye view, like almost fly on the wall of where they're at, and they're exactly where they were, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it brings a lot of anxiety because you're like, well, I don't know how to function in that kind of dysfunction anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think like that. I mean, you can't say anything. It's kind of the type of individuals where you can't say anything without them reading into it and thinking there's some sort of ulterior motive.
Yeah, no, you don't even know how to talk to them. You don't know how to talk the old way. And so it seems like, you know, everything you're talking about now triggers. So
yeah.
It's pretty...
And they'll figure, you know, and then they just come from a place of victimization, and it's like, well, that doesn't work either. And so, like, we've been faced with ending relationships for a myriad of reasons, parents or siblings.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are really resistant to that because it's like you've been conditioned so hard on family, you know. What I saw was, okay, so you have these epigenetic factors that are in it, you know, that are helping to create who you are, and then you get born into a family full of other people that are suffering from the same epigenetic factors, and then you have this environment that then supports, you know, in my family, abuse, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're trained to feel badly if you want to get out of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, we'll take it because it's family, we're blood. But if you were giving your, you know, friend advice on leaving an abusive, you know, partner...
Right.
I mean, it'd be no question. Get out. Yeah. You know, choose you. Be, you know. And so, like, I know for some people on the outside looking in, you know, I'm sure that they're like, wow, like this is a bit harsh, don't you think? It's not that we didn't try to make it work or try to make amends or, you know, try to work things out. It wasn't like that. It has everything to do with the people on the other side. Don't want to make any compromises, period.
And really just want things to be the way they were.
Truly, they're not capable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me angry. It makes me feel sad and bad. Yeah. One, because we're pretty fucking cool people now.
Yeah, I think
and so. And we have awesome kids. Yep. You know, but two, I mean, like.
But the people we attract now in our lives are pretty awesome.
Yes, very true. But yeah. I think the second thing is that, like, I feel so bad that they're still trapped in these, you know, epigenetic and environmental conditioning, you know, programs.
Yeah.
And that, and how, I don't even know how at this, in this time and space, you even function in those, in that frequency.
Well, I just, it's too bad they can't have a taste of what it's like.
I know,
outside right? of that, because it's a lot calm. It's a lot more calm and peaceful. It's not so fueled with anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and depression and, you know, these other things. So.
Yeah. You know, the sun, puts off a ridiculous amount of electrons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which then, that's the grounding particle on planet Earth. You know, it shoots all these electrons at Earth. And when we talk about earthing or grounding, that's really what we're doing. We're balancing the electrons in within our bodies. It'd be awesome if the Earth were to just flow off, flare off, you know, a big CME and with, you know, these electrons that would, you know, supercharge humans so that they could have their own individualistic experience.
Oh, totally.
I think it would be beautiful.
Oh, totally would.
Yeah.
I wish that for everyone.
Yeah. So they could, if not for just a moment, feel what they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I've said it before and I'm not trying to, you know, sound douchey at all when I say this, but like I would do it knowing the outcome, like with lost relationships with family, unfortunately, I would still do it again. Because I'm a much better version of myself. And the people that are in my life are much better versions of themselves from being able to kind of go through the experience with us.
And it's so nice to have just honest communication. I mean, like, you and I have worked so hard, you know, on this. And all of that had to do with not working on honest communication with each other. That naturally came once we figured that out within ourselves and started having honest communication within ourselves. You know, when we started really getting real about I'm doing X, Y, Z, you know, I'm gaslighting, you know, I'm character assassinating, I'm whatever it is, you know, it was really hard work, you know, and I'm dedicated to this work with, you know, you could call it healing work or the expansion of consciousness, you know, or just the opening. I really just think a lot of it has to do with opening and accepting right now.
Yeah.
And shifting perspective, but not being afraid to offer, you know, wrathful compassion when needed, you know, or recognize that you know, you're not going to put yourself in environments that are toxic.
Yeah.
And or abusive.
Yeah.
You know, that's my two cents. You know, there's this guy on Instagram that I follow, and he says that sometimes the most spiritual thing isn't you know, aligning your chakras or meditating or doing yoga. You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing is to tell someone to fuck off.
Yeah.
And the first, like when I started following him, I was like, God, this guy's kind of harsh. But then we were going through some, you know, relationship things, not you and me, but with other people. And I was just like, yeah, no, sometimes that is the very best thing, the most spiritual thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and just to choose to, not just live your best life, but like really choose to dig deep and keep going, regardless of the amount of people that I guess no longer want to be in your life.
Stay authentic, because when you stay authentic and not morph into this person these other people want you to be,
yeah,
you're going to be happier with yourself. So again, I don't even know why it's sad. I mean, at the end of the day, we all tend to grow apart anyways and become individuals outside of this family cult that you're kind of born into.
Yeah.
You kind of pick a partner and you kind of go away, and then you kind of grow based on whatever, you know?
Well, it's a program.
It is what it is.
And people that work with plant medicines typically, you know, at some point kind of visit this New Age program. You know, and I would challenge anybody that's stuck in the New Age program or have been stuck or, you know, is in that right now, you know, to really ask yourself, you know, what's beyond where I'm at, and continue to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, don't get stuck, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if
lots of places to get stuck, to be honest with you.
There's just so many people out there that they want to be a guru, you know. And the way that they do that is by honestly sensationalizing downloads and, you know, making things bigger than what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that in the new age guru business.
And when you take ayahuasca, there is a similar path that we all take as we kind of deprogram ourselves, unfortunately. Sometimes we hit it in different time periods, but
what, the new age program?
No, yeah, but I mean, just like, you know, when you take a psychedelic, it there is some programming that happens just based on where you live and blah blah blah, you know, teachers and what's kind of, and you kind of get a reset of that after a psychedelic. You definitely look at your environment with new eyes, and you know, it's just kind of something you go through. It's similar. And so then where I was leading with this is then you bump into the new age path. You know, you bump into looking at chakras. There's a time you're going to bump into looking at archangels and things. It just is what it is. It happens. It's very similar. Everybody seems to go through it.
Yeah. And the thing is that it's
not, you're open to everything,
it's not right? That any of that you just mentioned is not real. It's the people that have tried to market it and make it into a business. You know,
yeah.
Look at me.
Have, you know, all the answers.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm going to say something and, you know, so trigger alert here, but most people that have extrasensory abilities have been through horrific ordeals. It is a response to trauma. Most people's extrasensory abilities. So when you hear that someone's had an idyllic life, right? And they say that they also have all of the extrasensory abilities because they've been through all of the shamanic courses. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Okay, that didn't come from within themselves. That came from outside of themselves. So just kind of like that is one of the things that I look at, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, for instance, I did this, I guess you could say some mediumship work with somebody. This was a while ago. And it was like I asked them for a specific service, and then it was like they wanted to promote their other services in so much that they started to text me and let me know what they think I could benefit from. Okay, first of all, nobody can receive intuition from me but me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not, you know, my neurons, right? And so, you know, somebody that is telling you what it is that you need next is most likely just projecting on you. That's another red flag for me. When there's anybody that I'm, you know, interested in providing some sort of service or, you know, in whatever direction.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that falls into, you know, making comments like, I'm so sorry that I brought you here on Earth.
Ew, I know where you got that from.
Uh-huh. You know, or honestly trying to tell you how to connect to your spirit guides or higher self or, you know, ETs. You know, at some point you have to accept the fact that you are who you are and your path is your path and it's going to unfold and that, and it's going to bloom really and unfold however it is going to unfold, and it's not going to look like anybody else's.
So try not to get caught and up in somebody else's.
Yeah, I say explore everything, look at everything, follow your curiosities, but just remember, like, we're here to not worship more people. You know, we're here to get guidance from, you know, individuals and to move on.
Yeah.
And if you're not moving on, if you're not consistently moving on, you know, then I would ask yourself what's going on here, because this process is infinite process. Yeah. Nobody knows. And anybody that says that they know, you know, they don't know. In fact, something I like to do, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I like to read like Buddhic wisdom. And I like to try and think beyond it. I attempt to think. I enjoy trying to think things that have never been thought before, or do things that have never been done before, or challenge fixed philosophies by these, you know, ascended masters, or, you know, in every way, shape, or form, or these gods or whatnot. You know? It's fun. And more of us should do it. More of us should, in our own little corner, with our own little expertise, start to...
God, that would make some interesting, like, you know, meetups.
What do you mean?
You can meet up with a bunch of people that are all doing that.
Well, yeah, because I think we all get to a certain point where we're looking around in the new age cage going...
the new age cage.
Yeah, in the new age cage going, where's the exit door? You know, or I'm bored, or you've got to be kidding me. I've just gone through all this identity work and now I'm supposed to pick some sort of spiritual identity. you know, and pick a new name and change my clothes, right? And I'm wearing jewelry on my face and I'm getting henna tattoos, and I'm not saying that anything's wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know, be authentic. You know, if you're
like
doing...
you just described a J.P. Spears skit. That's what it sounded like anyway.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, because you just cited off all the weird cliches that we've watched people go through.
Yeah, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like some of those things have been taken and monetized or perverted or inverted from what they can mean to you intrinsically. Hmm. You know, if you're not questioning everything, everyone should question everything. Everyone should question me for wanting you to question everything. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how we're going to get ourselves out of this mess.
Yeah.
Whatever little corner that you find yourself in any sort of time and space on planet Earth right now, right? I mean, you're an expert in something. Everybody's an expert in something. Start asking yourself, why do we do that way?
Yeah.
You know, and can you bring about change, you know, physically, you know, in the matter of things? Yes, you can, because you're 99.999% space, which is way more than the matter of things. You just have to add a different frequency, which is what perspective is, onto whatever it is that you specialize in. If everybody did this and decided to work different neurons,
we'd fix this planet in like a instant.
When we challenge that, we call it the expansion of consciousness, but really what's going on is that we're connecting neurons and allowing neurons that have never spoken before to speak, so to speak.
Speaking of that, good luck naming this podcast episode. We've covered a lot of things.
Is that your way of saying, my legs are restless, let's end this?
Yeah, and I forgot to bring something to drink. I think we've been talking for like an hour and something.
Have we? You can have my water.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I think that we should get video cameras, and I think that maybe here in the near future we will do a podcast where you can see our faces.
Let's do it.
I think it's a little bit more intimate.
If anybody knows exactly how to do that, please send me an email.
We would greatly appreciate it.
ayahuascaparentspodcast@gmail.com.
And I think I'm going to start an Instagram and just be a little bit more vocal.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it would be a great way for me to satiate that side of myself, the side of myself that I don't really share.
Well, once you set it up, you should announce it.
Done and done.
Done.
Yep. All right.
Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Oh, you're
talking to everybody else.
I forgot we have earphones on and we're talking through microphones.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just get lost in the conversation with you. So thanks for being such great conversation.
I just like, I like your perspectives.
All right. I'm going to put it in my phone 2 weeks from today, which I think is like the second week in. Here, we'll just look at it and then we'll hold ourselves accountable. Done. It's the 7th of July.
Okay.
Okay.
See you then.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye.